Well, we have been talking about this invisible war that the Bible tells us we are in. Ephesians chapter 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world. We are in an invisible war, and we need to be dressed for victory in spiritual warfare. That's what the scripture tells us in Ephesians 6. And part of getting dressed, as if you've been with us up to this point, has included putting on the belt of truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Last week, putting on our gospel shoes, those cleated shoes that we talked about. But there are three more kind of pieces or elements to the armor of God we'll be talking about today and in the weeks to come. And we go from, to some extent, from putting on to picking up or taking up. Like today, take up or pick up the shield of faith. The week after that, we'll get back to putting on the helmet of salvation. But then pick up or take up the sword of the Spirit. What's the difference between putting on and picking up? Well, maybe a baseball illustration will help with us. Imagine a baseball player. He gets to the stadium, goes into the locker room. He puts on his uniform, including his cleats, right? And he heads out to the dugout. The game has started. It's his turn at bat. But as he goes to the plate, dressed in his uniform and with his cleats on, he has to pick up, what, his bat. I mean, how crazy would it be? We wouldn't say that the player is ready for the 90-mile-an-hour fastball if he didn't pick up his bat. So in the same way, we put on some things, and we need to get dressed every day, but there are other elements to this spiritual battle that we need to pick up. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, in all circumstances, take up or pick up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. I like how at this point, Paul reminds us that we're in a spiritual battle because that shield of faith is going to protect us in a defensive kind of way against what he calls the flaming darts of the evil one. You know, the devil has a dartboard with your face and my face right in the middle of it. You don't want to be the devil's dartboard. You got to have your shield of faith ready, and we'll talk more about that here in a moment. This reminds me a little bit of the Star Trek Enterprise thing. Any Trekkie fans here? Anybody willing to? Oh, we got some Trekkie fans over here. All right. Do you remember what Captain Kirk says as they power up the Enterprise and they move at warp speed into enemy territory? You'll hear him bark the command, "Shields up, everyone! Shields up!" And sometimes they're flying through the universe at warp speed and the shields are down, but when they detect that there is an enemy in some region of the universe, it's a shields up kind of time. That's sort of what we're talking about here. Only in spiritual warfare and in the Christian life, there's never a shields down moment. How do I know that? Because of the first three words in verse 16. Paul says, in all circumstances. Not in some circumstances, not in the circumstances you think you've got under control. You know, don't be so quick to say, God, I've got this. No, you don't. Not when you know that our adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Not when you understand that the evil one, yes, the evil one, there's no kind intent found anywhere in the devil. He's an evil one, and he's got a dartboard with your face in the middle of it, and he's about to fling some flaming arrows, some flaming darts in your direction. It is a shields up time in all circumstances. In all circumstances. And we're to pick up not just any shield, but the shield of faith. Shield of faith. Let's talk about faith. Faith is the great necessity of the Christian life. Write that down. Just, you know, put it as a, create a bumper sticker or something that you never forget that faith is the great necessity of the Christian life. Let me build my case here with a little bit of a journey through the scriptures, starting in Habakkuk chapter 2, where it tells us the righteous shall live by faith. That phrase, which was one of the rallying cries of the Reformation, that phrase that took root in the heart of a Catholic priest named Martin Luther in the early 1500s, and that lit a fire in his heart that led to the spark that started the Protestant Reformation. The righteous shall live by faith. Now, as the Reformation continued, the rallying cry was, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And Luther and others parted from the Catholic Church, which was a faith plus works kind of system. And Luther said, no, the righteous shall live by faith and faith alone. He not only read it in the book of Habakkuk, but it echoes through the New Testament. In Romans, in Galatians, again in Hebrews, the righteous shall live by faith. Why? Because faith and faith alone is the great necessity of the Christian life. We could go on. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. By grace you have been saved, say it with me, through faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I just let that sink in for a moment. It's not just difficult to please him. It's impossible. God is looking for faith, an expression of faith in you and in me. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. Whatever is not from faith is sin. If you're taking a step in some direction and it's not a step of faith, the Bible calls that sin. How about James chapter 1 and verse 6? James says, do any of you lack wisdom? Wisdom is that ability to apply truth skillfully in your life. Do you need some divine wisdom? James says it's available in spades. But he says in verse 6, but let him ask in faith without any doubting. And then I could also add 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. We're talking about getting dressed for victory in spiritual warfare. 1 John 5, 4 says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What am I trying to say to you? Faith is the great necessity of the Christian life. If you think you can live the Christian life and not take steps of faith, all right, yeah, you're missing something. Some people say, Pastor, yeah, I've got faith. I'll believe it when I see it. That's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is, I believe it, and then I see it. All right? It leads us to an obvious question, and the question is this. What is faith? Better yet, what is biblical faith? The skeptic says, well, faith is it's a blind leap into the dark unknown. I'm going to challenge that. It's not even close to that. That's not biblical faith. Faith is not a blind leap into the dark unknown. Rather, faith is a step or maybe a leap into the glorious light. Out of the darkness you're in and into the light of Jesus Christ who declared, I am the light of the world. So it's just the opposite of what you've maybe come to believe. Faith is not a blind leap into the dark unknown. It's a step out of the darkness and into the light of Jesus Christ who claimed, I am the light of the world. But furthermore, Hebrews chapter 11 is probably a good place for us to go for a working definition of faith. Let's go a little bit deeper there. Hebrews 11 is also known as the Great Hall of Faith because of the personal faith profiles it contains of people like Noah, Moses, Abraham, Joseph, and many, many other Bible heroes. It's a wonderful chapter in the Bible, Hebrews 11 is, to read and just strengthen your faith and be inspired by the steps of faith that others have taken. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 begins this way. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Isn't that a great definition? A lot better than it's a blind leap into the dark unknown, right? No, the Bible says that biblical faith is the assurance of things hoped for It's the conviction of things not seen. It's not, I believe it if I see it. It's, I see, I got that turned around, didn't I? It's not, I'll believe it when I see it. It's, I'll see it when I believe it, is the kind of idea. Other translations say it this way. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The New King James says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The New Living Translation, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. In a lighter kind of way, Eugene Peterson in his paraphrase called the Message, faith is our handle on what we can't see. And none of this is anywhere close to a blind leap into the dark unknown. You see in all of these translations and paraphrases words like sureness, certainty, confidence, conviction. This is what describes biblical faith. You also see the word hope in there. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for these days? Like faith, there's a big difference between biblical hope and, you know, the kind of hope that says, I hope tomorrow is a better day. I hope they find a vaccine for the virus. I hope 2021 is better than 2022. That's not biblical hope. That's wishful thinking disguised as hope. Biblical hope is the confident expectation that God is who he says he is and that he will do exactly what he says he will do. That's biblical hope, coupled with the confident expectation, the assurance of those things that I cannot see with the naked eye, but I see with the eyes of faith. Years ago, Time magazine quoted the famous geneticist Francis Collins as saying, faith is not the opposite of reason. No, faith rests squarely upon reason, but with the added component of revelation. Yeah, because biblical hope is that confident expectation that God is who he says he is, just as he revealed himself in the pages of Scripture, just as he has revealed himself to us in creation and in our conscience and in the written word and furthermore in the living word who is Jesus Christ. He has revealed himself to us. I say it another way, Christianity is an intelligent faith based upon reasonable evidence. But it goes further than that and gives us the revelation of God. And so it's a reasonable thing, beyond a reasonable thing, to believe in all the ways that God has revealed himself in the pages of Scripture. That's a little bit about what is faith. I want to get back to that dartboard. The devil has a dartboard, according to Ephesians 6. Your face, my face, is right in the middle of it. And he has some flaming darts. Now, the vivid picture that the Apostle Paul has in mind here comes from the ancient Roman world and from battlefields back then. The WMD in the ancient world, the weapon of mass destruction, was the flaming arrow. They would not only shoot arrows at their enemies, but sometimes they would take a piece of cloth and dip it in pitch and wrap the end of the arrow and set it on fire and send the arrow. And when the arrow hit, the pitch splattered in a bunch of directions with its flames. That was considered a weapon of mass destruction back then and would ignite the enemy's camp. And the Apostle Paul has that picture in mind when he says to us, let's go back to verse 16, in all circumstances, pick up or take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. What kind of flaming darts is he going to send our direction? How does he attack our faith? Let me give you just three. Write these down. Number one is worry. He will attack your faith and my faith, that confident expectation that God will do what he says he will do because he has revealed himself in this way. He will attack that faith with worry. How do I know that? Well, because in Matthew chapter 6, which is a section of Scripture, the larger section, 5, 6, and 7, known as the Sermon on the Mount. You ever heard of that? Jesus talks about worry. In fact, it's probably the largest section of Scripture dedicated to worry. Why did Jesus talk so much about worry? Because we worry a lot, don't we? We worry about this, we worry about that, we worry about the other thing. And Jesus said, why are you worrying? He talked about how foolish it is to worry, how useless it is to worry. He said, listen, your Father in heaven takes care of the birds of the air. There's not one that drops to the ground without his notice. Look at the flowers in the field and how they are adorned and clothed. And then Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 30, but if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. It's that last little phrase that kind of gets us. Oh, Jesus is saying there's a connection between worry and a lack of faith. Let's just say it. Worry cannot coexist with faith. And so one of the ways by logical conclusion the devil attacks our faith is by filling our hearts and mind with worry. What did you worry about this week? Did you worry about catching the coronavirus? Did you worry about losing your job? Did you worry about taking some financial step of faith? What was your heart full of worry about? What did you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning pacing back and forth in your den about? What worry gripped your heart? See it for what it is, a flaming arrow from the devil meant to extinguish your faith. And that's when you need to take up the shield of faith. Pick it up in all circumstances. The second dart that he often tosses is doubt. We talked a little bit about this in week two. I won't expand much here. But here's what I've learned over the years, and some wise soul encouraged me to do years ago. He just said, doubt your doubts. Learn to doubt your doubts. Knowing that this is one of the flaming arrows of the devil meant to extinguish your faith, when doubt comes to your mind, to your heart, whatever, or it freezes your hands and feet before you put some step of faith into practice, just recognize it for what it is. Pick up your shield of faith, because it's the shield of faith that extinguishes worry and doubt, and thirdly, fear. That's the third flaming dart, is fear. And this is self-evident, this is obvious, right? You could have probably come up with a list like this. Faith cannot coexist with worry, it cannot coexist with doubt, it cannot coexist with fear. But what did you fear this week? What do we see politicians and others playing off of us, constantly? It's fear. Fear. They can instill fear in us, they can control us. This is a strategy of the devil. If he can get us all tangled up in fear, guess what? You'll never take a step of faith. Psalm chapter 27 and verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If fear grips your heart, commit that verse to memory. And then in a couple weeks when we talk about picking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, you'll have that little arrow, that defensive arrow in your quiver. And when fear comes your way, you say, nope. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Just some ways the devil attacks our faith and how the shield of faith is our defense. Finally, let's just talk a little bit about how to get faith and how to increase our faith. But before I go there, let me just say this. The size of your faith does not matter. We're not talking about, pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps and just trying harder and getting bigger. I need a faith of a certain size. No. Jesus said? He said in Matthew chapter 17, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Think about that. Just a tiny, tiny little bit of faith. Why? Because it's not the size of your faith that matters, it's the object of your faith. You see, up to this point, you might have thought that faith, meant faith in faith, or faith in yourself, or faith in your government. Or if you got a bad diagnosis, somebody, you might have been diagnosed with cancer this week. Oh, you have great faith in your medical team. No, it's faith in God. Assemble the medical team. Get the best group of people to, you know, attack whatever, you know, medical ailment you have. But your faith needs to be in the right direction. Don't put your faith in the government. That's what socialism wants. Socialism wants us not to have faith in God, but faith in the government. Communism eliminates faith altogether because it's an atheistic system. Socialism is not atheistic, but it redirects our faith away from God to the government. Don't for one minute put your faith in the government. The government will always let you down, even though we have great people in the government, right? The object of our faith matters. It's faith in the God who reveals himself in Scripture, who says, this is who I am, this is what I will do. And you anchor your faith in the promises of God, not in yourself, not in somebody else or some other system. Having said that, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 is a good place for us to land our plane today as we talk about picking up the shield of faith. Read this verse with me together. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Think of this book called the Bible as your faith fueling station. You get the word of Christ in you, and you'll have more faith. You'll have a stronger faith. My wife and I are very different when we drive a car. I'll drive until the fuel tank is pretty close to empty, and I'm really not all that panicked when the light comes on, all right? Because I kind of know there's an extra maybe gallon or two in there, and I'll just, you know, drive. But my wife, as soon as it gets below a half tank, she wants to fill up, okay? I get that. We're just different that way. She's probably got a better plan than I do, although in all of our years of marriage, I've never had to call her and say, I ran out of gas on the side of the road. Maybe that day is coming. I don't know. But here's my concern, is that too many people who call themselves Christians are trying to live the Christian life on fumes with that little light on. Because the last time, and present company excluded, the last time you were under the teaching of God's word or in it for yourself, reading the Bible, studying the Bible during the week, the last time you really spent significant time fueling up your faith was too long ago. It was too long ago. You're running on fumes. You know, your quiet time, your Bible reading time, even the frequency with which you're in church, it's gotten to the point where you're in church when it's convenient for you. You don't have something else to do. And the gauge just keeps going lower and lower and lower and lower. You can scan through your week, maybe your months, and ask yourself, how many times have I been to the fueling station? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You got to be under the teaching of God's word. That applies to your pastor as well. And you got to be in it for yourself. And the mileage you get per gallon, just consider it very small. You need to be regularly coming to the fueling station. Because I guarantee you this, the devil has a dartboard with your face on it and mine, and he's firing some flaming arrows our direction full of worry and doubt and fear, and you need to pick up the shield of faith. You need a full tank worth of faith. Yeah, Jesus said you can move mountains with a mustard seed. I get all of that. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't have a distant relationship from this book, the Bible, the word of Christ. You can't have a distant relationship from it and expect to be a person who steps out in faith every day. You'll be full of worry. You'll be full of doubt. You'll be full of fear. Those alert lights will go on, then you rush back to church, or, oh, you know, I got to find something to encourage my heart today. No, you need a regular plan to fuel up your faith every day. And the importance of being together as the gathered church, and the importance of me as a pastor, not to just read a little verse and then talk for 40 minutes about, you know, whatever I want to talk about. That isn't biblical preaching. I want to give you the Word of God and give it to you best as I can. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when you pick up your shield of faith, okay, the promise is you will extinguish every flaming arrow of the evil one. You'll find that worry and doubt and fear don't control your life as much as faith does, because you're a person of ever-increasing faith. So here's what we need to do. Shields up, everyone. Shields up. We're in enemy territory.